Welcome to Mending Fences, a podcast about effective ways to communicate and live with differences. I'm Patrice Bremner.
And I'm Jen Hawthorne. We're both family law mediators and collaborative law attorneys, but our conversations go well beyond family law. We explore the personal, interpersonal, legal, and cultural impact of conflict.
Hi, and welcome back to Mending Fences. I'm Jen Hawthorne, and I'm here with Patrice Bremner and our special guest today, Rachel Goldman. Rachel started her career here in Massachusetts as a litigator, doing family law work, and then moved on to be Patrice, my colleague, doing collaborative law work and as a mediator, and now has moved her practice to California, where she is using her expertise to teach people about conflict and communication and doing a lot of coaching. And I am certain I just missed something in what Rachel is doing. So Rachel, do you want to pick up where I just left off in introducing yourself?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you both for inviting me to be part of this wonderful new podcast series. I think it's fantastic. So the other type of work that I do is facilitating difficult conversations between two or more people, either in the workplace or within families or communities. It runs the gamut. So I thought, let me give a little context to sort of how I moved in this direction.
We'd love to hear it.
Yes. Okay, great.
We would love to hear that story.
Yeah, I realized as we were preparing for this conversation with you that while I've known you for quite a while, I've never heard your whole story of how you got from litigation all the way to what you're doing now. So I can't wait to hear.
Oh, great, great. Happy to share. So I started in general litigation out of law school, and I've been out of law school now for 35 years, hard to believe. And I liked it. I liked it intellectually because you're always learning about new substantive law. I did not particularly like the combativeness of it, but I psyched myself up to do it. And then I took 6 years off to be a full-time mom, which was fantastic. And then when I was considering where to go back in terms of the legal field, I amazingly got a phone call from Michael Leshen, who you both know, who said, hey, I am opening a new practice with Julie Ginsburg and Wellesley. Would you like to join us? And I knew Michael from Hemingway and Barnes, a Boston law firm where we both worked for a number of years. And my first response was, I have no interest in family law. There's no way I'm doing divorce work. And he said to me, well, you can work as little or as much as you want to. And that was like the magic phrase because I had 3 young sons. So I started working with Michael and Julie's law firm and I was litigating and I worked my way up to full time, worked my way up to partner, and then took a mediation training, I think in 2000. Wow, that was a long time ago. And a collaborative law training almost simultaneously and realized, whoa, this matches who I am internally much more. And I slowly wound down my litigation practice and practiced exclusively collaborative family law and mediation for many, many years. Loved it. Loved the communities, the professional communities, loved the work. And then my wife and I knew we wanted to move to Los Angeles. And I started thinking, well, what do I want to do? Do I want to try to set up a new collaborative law practice, take the California bar and continue to mediate? And instead, what I realized was I wanted to engage with and have impact on a much broader population. And I wanted to hone in on communication skills and bettering conflict management skills, which I think we could all use and the world really needs. So I got certified as a certified professional coach, and I started my own consulting company.
Wow. I have consulted with you about communication within a professional team on a collaborative case.
That's correct.
The feedback that you gave me was invaluable. It was direct. It was concrete. It made a huge difference. And I've continued to use it. I mean, it was like it made a lasting impact, right? So I continue to hear you in my head when things like that come up and ask myself the questions that you asked and kind of focus on the things that you suggested that I focus on. And so I know that you provided that to me before you became a coach. And my question is, what other training, and I don't want to derail you from telling us about your journey, but like before you did the coach training and before you moved to California, I think you already knew how to do this stuff. How was there other training besides collaborative law training and mediation training?
The other training that I participated in was facilitation training. I would say 5 or 6 years before I moved to California, because I think in my gut, I wanted to branch out more. And so that was sort of a first step. But you're absolutely right. I knew how to coach folks in conflict because that's what I do as a mediator. That's what you do as a mediator. That's what I did when I represented people in mediation. And that's what we do when we represent people in collaborative cases. And that is part of what I love the most about being a lawyer and mediator. And that is also a big reason why I never caucus, because as a mediator, I know that it's controversial and some people feel strongly that caucusing is effective and helps move the process. But my philosophy was that part of my job as a mediator was to teach skills and to really try to help the couple improve their communication, especially when they were going to be co-parents for the rest of their lives.
That's exactly what I tell clients all of the time. And I do caucus, but very minimally. And for those of you listening who might not know what caucusing means, that's when mediators will break out into separate rooms, either physical rooms or in the modern world, breakout rooms on Zoom, and go back and forth between clients. So that the mediator is still hearing both clients, but the clients aren't hearing each other. And I could not agree with you more, Rachel, that when I do that, I always feel like there's something missing.
Well, the focus absolutely changes because the focus now isn't the communication, but rather negotiating.
Right. It always feels much more like I'm just passing proposals back and forth.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And so coaching is really about empowering your client and about helping them uncover what are the attitudes and beliefs that are ingrained that are leading to particular thoughts that are then driving their feelings and their behaviors in a way that's not serving them. And so there's a similarity there, because if you're working with a couple in mediation and everyone's in the room, that's some of what the mediator is doing, is trying to go beneath the position and understand the interests and ask open-ended questions. I mean, there's certainly a lot of skills that overlap, but there's a lot of skills that are different in coaching versus mediating.
So when I'm working with clients, I'll often get the question, you know, is this too much like therapy? If we're veering, I do exclusively right now, family law conflict. And so if we're veering too far off of a settlement or an agreement, folks will sometimes think it's too much like therapy. What I'm hearing you say is that when you're coaching, it's a different skill set, but still slightly different than therapy, but more focused on empowering the person themselves.
That's a great point. And I often get asked when I'm in an initial consultation call, how is this different than therapy? So the one similarity between coaching and therapy is that the professional provides a safe place where the client can, in confidence, share what they need to share. There are many differences. Therapy is much more focused on the past, on why things happened, on uncovering patterns so that you can understand yourself and heal from trauma often. There's often a diagnosis involved. Coaching focuses on how, on what are your goals? What are you wanting to achieve? What is getting in your way? What do we need to do to release what's getting in your way? And now, what kind of strategies and tools can you start to use to take some next steps to change these patterns and to step out of your limitations and really reach your potential more? So it's much more forward oriented.
That sounds incredible.
That's a great perspective. Yeah. I'm still curious, and I don't want to belabor this, so tell me if you want to move on from this, but I feel like as a new mediator or a new collaborative law professional coming out of litigation, you didn't come in with these skills, right? And so they were developed along the way before, I know I'm not the same mediator I was when I did the training. Was that evolution for you? Like from, you know, I don't know if you remember the first case you mediated. I remember mine. I wonder what it would be like to sit down to do it over again, like with the mediator I am now. I think it would be a different process.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting question. As I look back, I can see in retrospect how every choice I made led me to this place. For example, I was a cultural anthropology major in college. I was fascinated by influences on people, by their perspectives. I've always had this point of view that there's no sort of right or wrong. There's no reality or non-reality. It's really the lens through which we see the world. So I think I intuitively have always been like that. And then going to law school back in the day, 35 years ago, if you wanted to be successful, you were expected to be a litigator. And so it didn't even dawn on me to do anything different. And so each step of the way, I've intuitively sort of tapped into what seems to generate motivation and passion for me. So I think I had those skills early on, but I hadn't honed them or been trained around them. And I would say my mediation skills and my coaching, the more confident I become, the more I'm willing to respond from my intuition using my skills rather than sort of in this rote way that I think that a mediator should be responding or a coach should be responding. So I think that's been a big evolution for me over the years.
It's sort of becoming more eloquent internally in how to resolve conflict.
Correct.
I think that is a skill that I agree with Patrice that if I were to step back and watch myself mediate, you know, 10 years ago, I think I would have a very different reaction to how I mediate now. So for those of us sitting in, you know, the shoes or the seats Patrice and I are sitting in as current mediators and collaborative practitioners, what did you take from the facilitation training that might be useful for folks still doing this type of work? I'm really curious about that particular training. I have not heard anything about it before.
About the facilitation training?
Yes. I don't think I knew that I knew coaching training existed. Obviously, I know mediation training and that we do our intro to collaborative and all the advanced trainings, specifically a training in facilitation I haven't heard about before.
And so I think, if I remember correctly, I attended a webinar a couple of years ago through the Massachusetts Collaborative Law Council. And it was, I believe it was you, Rachel, and
Rita Pollack,
on facilitation. And yeah, I would love to hear you talk more about that.
And that makes me think I just must have been completely absent at that time.
Very funny. Very funny. So the work I do now, for example, a lot of people who reach out to me find me on mediate.com if they want me to facilitate a difficult conversation. And they think of it as mediation. It's really facilitation because I'm not engaging with them as a neutral for them to reach an agreement. Yep. I'm really, the focus is on, again, very coachy oriented, is where are you at now? Where do you both want to be in your relationship and communicating? What is getting in the way? What is your part in this? What are you willing to change in order to get to where you want to be with this other person or people? And what might be challenging to you? And I teach the communication and the conflict management skills as they are engaging with each other. And so they then have an opportunity to practice many of those skills outside of my facilitation. So it's different. I'm not focused on any substantive agreement. I'm simply focused on helping them develop better skills and get out of patterns. I mean, we're all in communication patterns with people in our lives, especially long-term relationships. And so I see my job as really sparking, identifying what the patterns are and replacing them with some new, more productive engagements. And so it is different than mediation. There's no doubt about it. And I'm very directive in those sessions because if I see someone, usually what's getting in the way is judgment and language, often the way that they're speaking to each other, and assumptions. And so if I see any of that going on, I will call a timeout and I will go in and help them correct it so that they can stay on track. So those are some differences around its facilitation versus mediation. They still like to call it mediation. I'm not quite sure why. It just sort of resonates for them. But what I'm really doing is facilitating.
And so when someone comes to you for that type of work, they're coming jointly. So they've made a decision jointly to seek this kind of facilitation. Are they private people, or is it through an employment situation? Or I'm sure it's a bunch of different things, but it must always be jointly and voluntarily engaged in?
That's correct. And I'll give you some examples. I've done quite a bit of work with family members, with adult children or an adult child and a parent. And right now I've been working with a family with a mother and her two adult sons. And I did some work with the three of them around communication and conflict management. And then I'm now continuing with the two sons who really have a lot of work to do to come back together. And the mother found me on mediate.com and then approached the sons, and they were on board with it. I had another man approach me that he had not spoken to his mother or his sister for 2 years. He was getting married in a few months, and he really wanted to invite them to the wedding, and he wanted to do some work with his mom before. And that was one of the most poignant, amazing, moving facilitation cases I've ever had. I mean, a lot of tears, and they really made some good strides. I also teach in the leadership program for the California State Water Board. They have hundreds of employees, and they have wonderful leadership programs. And so I'm available to facilitate if there's any issues among employees or management and employees. So it really runs the gamut in terms of the facilitation. And I coach a number of those people as well.
I'm so excited to hear about this. I find it really exciting because it just fits so well with the conversations that Jen and I have on the podcast and outside of the podcast about how what we see in mediation, it always feels like it's just the tip of the iceberg. Like there's, you know, there are opportunities for improved communication using some of these same skills, but I haven't known how that could happen. And what you're describing is exactly how it can happen. And I think it's just something that I'm sure not many people know even exists. So beyond finding you through mediate.com, how else could people find out about you or others that do this kind of work?
Sure. So let me give you my website. If people, you know, are curious to learn more, it's www.rbgoldman.com. I have a lot of resources on my website. I'm on LinkedIn. Just Google conflict coach or communication coach, and you'll learn about what's out there. And Google trainings, Google communication training, conflict management training. There's quite a bit going on out there. And I just want to touch on what you just said is about how you feel sometimes like mediation is just the tip of the iceberg. And I think that's why I felt somewhat constrained doing mediation and collaborative law. And when I coach and facilitate around communicating better and conflict management, I make it really clear to my clients, all these skills are applicable in your personal life, in your work life, on the street, anywhere. These are life skills that don't just apply to the particular scenario that you're struggling with right now.
As mediators doing our work, we're always told to let go of the outcome. But our clients, when they're coming to see us as mediators, are so focused on whatever it is that they're trying to accomplish in the mediation that it feels really hard to let go of the outcome. Listening to you speak is really making me think about connecting what Patrice and I had as an earlier conversation of what do we define as success in mediation? And maybe success sometimes is moving people forward as co-parents and in their relationship, even if they don't obtain that outcome. What I'm hearing from you, Rachel, is that you've been able to change your career so that you are really focusing on helping people let go of that outcome and just focus on bettering their relationship. So that's the objective when they're coming to see you.
which like exactly Patrice right. was just saying, that gets to like really the heart of what I think motivates a lot of us to do this out of court work in the first place.
That's exactly right. And I think, you know, as mediators and collaborative family lawyers, even if a final agreement isn't reached, there's a lot of value that you have offered to your clients. And I think it's important to point it out to yourselves and to point it out to the clients. It's not for naught. There has been some kind of movement or growth or new insights or some self-awareness that is really powerful that should be spoken about.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I really think that just the act of showing up together at someone's office for the purpose of having a conversation, just showing up, even if it doesn't result in a second appointment or more, it's movement. And it is movement in concert. You know, it's
right.
movement towards each other.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Rachel. Yeah. This has been fascinating. We love talking with you. We hope that you'll come back.
Yes. I can't stress enough how much you just opened my world in terms of where my own career could go someday. It feels a little bit like an aha moment for me. It's like, oh, maybe that's the next step someday. So thank you so much for sharing. And I'm sure I'm not going to be alone in learning about that today.
And I think there are probably, I don't know, half a dozen topics that you've touched on that I would love to drill down further on in deeper conversation. So I hope you'll come back. Yeah. It's great to talk to you. So nice to see you. We're doing this. No one else can see it, but we're doing this over Zoom.
Yes.
Rachel's in California and we're in Massachusetts, and it's just always nice to see her.
Exactly, Patrice. Completely.
I'm so honored. I'm so honored that you invited me to do this. And I just love staying in touch with you as well. I miss my Massachusetts mediation and collaborative law community. So yeah, happy to come back.
And we miss you, Rachel.
All right. Thanks, Rachel.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.